Okay, so last time we started discussing the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim about the origin of machlokas. And how is it that we have so much machlokas? We saw that the Gaonim argued that machlokas principally started from forgetting. And they cited the Gemara that says, Mishirabu Talmid HaShamay V'Hillel Shel Hashem Shekol HaTzorech, Mishrabs HaMachlokas V'Yisrael. So machlokas proliferated when there was a lack of shimush. And that's why in the generation that followed Shammai and Hillel, namely Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you have so much machlokas because they're Talmidim, lo shimshu kol tzorech. So the Rambam, in his Hakdama to the Pirush Mishnayos, finds this view megune me'od. It's almost like it's repugnant. Why? Because he argues, how could there be so much forgetting among the Chachmei Mesorah? He writes, again, you have it on your sheets, Pogem be'anashim asher niskablu mehem ha-mitzvos. Right? Who do we have the mitzvos from? These Talmidei Shammai ve'Hillel, after all. I mean, who were the Talmidei Shammai ve'Hillel? We have people like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bava ben Buta. And how could you say that these people forgot so much because lo shim shu kol tzorech? So therefore, that cannot be the source of machlokas. But don't the Gaonim have a good raya? Doesn't the Gemara say that debate proliferated misharabu talmid shamay v'hillel shel shim shu kol tzorech? So let's read the Rambam inside. Again, this is from the Hakdama to the Pirush Mishnah, which you have in your sheets. Aval Masha Amu Mishirabu Talmid Shammai V'Hillel Shel Hashem Shekol HaTzorech Rabbim Machlokas B'Yisrael Inyan Zeh Mevuar Shekol Shnei Anashim B'Yosem Shavim B'Seichel U'V'Iyun U'V'Yediyas Ha'Ikarim Shiyotziu Mehem HaSvaros Lo Tipol B'Neihem Machlokas B'Svarasam B'Shun Panim V'Im Nifne V'Im Nafla Tiyem Miuta Kimo Shelo Nimtza Shelo Nachlokas Shammai V'Hillel. So if you have two scholars that are equally proficient, equally skilled, so you won't find very much machlokas among them. And that's why among Shammai and Hillel, there's very little debate. Right, they're starting off with the same premises. They're starting off with the same rules. Starting off with the same assumptions. So you won't find so much machlokas. Aval kasher rav sashkida satalmidim ala chachma v'nechlesh asvarasam neged svaras hillel shamay uvam nafla machlokas b'nehem b'iyun al dvarim rabim shesvarus kolachas echad ve'echad mehem haisa lefi sichlo huma sheyesh b'yado min haikarim. So the students of Shammai and Hillel were not as great as Shammai and Hillel. But that's very different, the Rambam thinks, than saying what the Gaonim say. L'mashal, you know, if we look at the greatest Gedolim, Rav Moshe Feinstein or the Rav or other people like that, you know, are there Talmidim as great as the Rebbeim? No. No, I don't think we would say that. Does that mean that the Talmidim are slackers? No, not necessarily. So it is true that the Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel were not as great as their predecessors. And as such, they came to many more debates because they weren't as proficient at using the rules as their teachers were. So let's expand a little bit. Now, what types of debates are we talking about? So if we have a debate about a Din Rabbanan, okay, that's not such a problem. That's easy to understand. What about a Din D'Oraisa, or to be more precise, what about debates in terms of how to darshan? So the Rambam already told us that drashos are oftentimes based off of the principles that come from Moshe Rabbeinu, but they're applied by the individual scholars. So these scholars were great scholars. Nevertheless, they weren't as proficient as their Rebbeim. And as such, when applying the same principles, they more frequently came to different conclusions. And that's what he writes, that we shouldn't blame them. Right, reading a little later. We shouldn't blame the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel. Shalom nachriach anachnu l'shnei chachamim mitvakchim b'iyun lehitvakech kesechel Yehoshua Pinchas. V'ein lanu safe kemo Cain b'amesh nechlaku b'acharei she'enem kemo Shammai v'Hillel. Oh, kemo shehu l'mala mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo tzivanu b'avodoseinu al inyan zeh. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't command us to be as great as our rebbeim. Right? Well, he commands us to do our best. The Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel did their best. Were they as great as their teachers? No. But that's not something that we could blame them. It's not like the Gaonim claimed that there was this mass forgetting in the generation that followed Beis Shammai v'Hillel, that followed Shammai v'Hillel, that led to this huge forgetting. No. And every chacham is supposed to do their best to interpret the Torah. And that's exactly what the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel did. But because they weren't as great as their predecessors, there was more machlokas. And that's basically what the Rambam writes. So let's try to understand what then is the nature of debate according to the Rambam. So we saw before last week, from Hilchos Mamrim, Perk Aleph, Perk Gimel, where the Rambam writes, "Divrei Kabbalah ein ben machlokas liolam, v'chol davar shetimtza bo machlokas biyadua she'enu Kabbalah mimosh rabbeinu." So number one is when we're dealing with a Kabbalah, we know that there is no machlokas, right? And like the Gemara says in many places, "Im halacha hi nekabel, v'im lav, v'im ledin yesh tshuva." Good. So then what is there, where do we find the debate? We find the debate about cases where we don't have a direct mesorah about what a pasuk means, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us with the responsibility to interpret the pasuk. He gave us the rules of interpretation, but these rules of interpretation are not always clear-cut, and as such, great people can come to differing conclusions. So that's basically what the Rambam writes. Now, I'd like to turn for a moment, to a tshuva from the Chavos Yair, which you have over here, part of it. Kuf Tzadi Beis. You can read the whole thing. It's highly recommended. And the Chavos Yair challenges the Rambam's position. And we're going to consider today six challenges to the Rambam's position, and we'll try to consider what the Rambam might have responded to these challenges. So, the first one is that according to the Rambam, so it would seem that only a small percent, well, let's say it this way, many details were not given at Sinai. How do I know? Because the Rambam writes that when you find machlokas, so machlokas is only about the things that weren't given at Sinai. So we have a lot of machlokas. Okay, it's true. Rambam says that the details are generally debated, not the basic principles. But still, we have many, many machloksin, which would suggest that many details were not given at Sinai. So what would the Rambam say back to that? So I think the Rambam might respond in two ways. He does tell us that, yes, but many details, and certainly the major details, were given at Sinai. Most of the machloks in the Gemara are about atypical cases. But even those that are, so the Rambam basically says, yeah, in Achanami, many details weren't given. If you take a look at the Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvah, Sharashim Shosh Beis, he writes like this. Kvar bi'arnu b'psichas chiburenu b'peirush ha-mishnah, sh'rov dinei ha-torah yotzu b'shal shesrei mido sh'atar nidrashus bahen, v'sh'adin yotze b'mida sh'osan amidos hinei pa'amim tipol b'machlokas. So what's the answer? The answer is taka, rov dinei Torah. In other words, most dinim are in fact extrapolated using the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to interpret the Torah. Vishyesh Shamdinim, Haim Perushim, Mikubala, Mimosha, In machlokas ben. So we have the two different categories of laws. We have the things for which we have a mesorah, about which there's no machlokas, and we have the things about which there is no mesorah, where we find machlokas. And most in him, we don't have a mesorah for. Avalhem evian raya alei bachnos amidvei midos ki mechachmas akasa shu afsher shimatzei bo remez mora al perashahu hamikubal ohekesh yoralaf. Good. So, seemingly, you know, the Rambam is okay with that. Now, the Rav HaChavos Yair, in attacking the Rambam, assumes that it must be the case that, you know, most of the details of the Torah were given directly to Moshe Rabbeinu and transmitted. The Rambam seems okay with the idea that Rov Dinei Torah were not. Maybe a shtickle raya to the Rambam, or at least the Siwa, would be, if you look at the Gemara and Yevamos, on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, I think the Gemara also sort of suggests, not explicit, that most in him were, in fact, emerged from the understanding of the Mesorah, of the Chachmei Mesorah, right? The Gemara's Lashon is, Kol HaTorah Nami Pirshu Rabbanan, Elamid Rabbanan V'Kras Machta Balma. Okay, so that's the first point. The second point is that the Rambam, the linchpin really of the Rambam's approach, is that the Mesorah wasn't forgotten. So the Chavos Yair says, but we find explicitly in Chazal instances where things were forgotten. So he quotes the Gemara in Tmura, Tes Vav Amid Aleph, that says that, sorry, Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, that says that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu died, 3,000 halachos, or according to a different version, 1,700 halachos were forgotten. And the Gemara explains that people begged Yeshua to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal these halachos. And Yeshua says, we can't. So then what recourse was there? So the answer is that Osniel ben Kenaz, he saved the day, basically using Svara, using the principles of interpretation, he was machzir, the forgotten halachos. Right? Amr Yehuda Rishmol, Shloshes alafim halachos nishtakhu bimei avlo shal Moshe Rabbeinu, Amr Yeshua, Sha'al, Amr Lei, lo shamaymi, and skipping, Amr Rabbi Yavo, Aval pichein, hechziros nil ben kanaz, mitoch pilpula. So luchayra, this is a strong kash on the Rambam. The Rambam says there was nothing that was ever forgotten. And here it's explicitly, Mamish, as soon as Moshe dies, there were thousands of halachos that were forgotten. So that's the kasha that the Chavos Yair asks. So I think perhaps the answer might be that these forgotten halachos were not the halachos that were given to Moshe at Sinai. These, if they were, so then Svara could not recreate these halachos, because halachos that are dependent on Mesorah require this unbroken tradition. We couldn't say Chziran Bepilpula. Rather, I think the pshat is, and I think it's mashma this way from the Gemara, that these were halachos that Moshe Rabbeinu himself derived from the Torah that was given to him at Sinai. Meaning to say, let's go back to what we saw last week. Last week we talked about five types of halachos, right? We have the Perushim HaMekubalim, so that's a direct Mesorah. Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, also a direct Mesorah. And then we have the middle category, category three, are laws that are derived using Svara or Midosh HaTorah Nedreshes Ban. And then four and five, we have the Gzeros and Takanos and Minhagim. So perhaps the forgotten halachos were in this middle category, in category three. What I'm saying basically is that already during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, this process of interpreting the Torah using human logic, or the application of the human mind using the tools from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was already taking place. And while the Rambam writes that the traditions given to Moshe at Sinai were never forgotten, he doesn't state that the discovered interpretations were never forgotten. Like we saw, the Rambam maintains that many of the Torah's details were not prophetically given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to figure it out on our own, and he gave us that responsibility. And that process, I think we could argue, took place already during Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime. And you see this in a number of places. First of all, if you look back at the Gemara in Temura, so it says, B'mas nisan tana aleph v'shvameos, kalen v'chamurin v'gzereshavos v'dukduke sofrim, nishtakhu b'mei evloi shel Moshe. So what things were forgotten during the Avelos of Moshe? What does the Gemara say? Kalen v'chamurin v'gzereshavos v'dukduke sofrim. Ah, it doesn't say Mesoras were forgotten. It doesn't say Halach l'Moshe Mesinai was forgotten. What was forgotten? Kavachomers, Diktuke Sofrin, Xerashavas. In other words, what was forgotten b'mei Moshe was not the halachos that Moshe brought down from Sinai, but that Moshe u'Beis Dino were mechadesh. And so I think it's very meduyik, actually, like the Rambam. And not only that, but, think about if, especially according to like the Rambam says, there are so many details not given to Moshe b'Sinai. So obviously during Moshe's lifetime, questions would have come up and they would have had to figure out the answers. Maybe just another place where you see this is the debate between Moshe and Aaron in Parsha Shmini. So the Gemara, the Pasuk says that basically Moshe and Aaron had a machlokas about the consumption of the Rosh Chodesh offering over there because it wasn't a horasha. It wasn't kachesha, meaning to say Hashem had instructed that the offerings be eaten. This is after Nadav and Avihu died. And even though Aaron and his sons were onanim, still, they should eat the karbanos. Now, Moshe maintained that this exception applied to all three chatos of that day, including the Rosh Chodesh chatos. And Aaron said, no, it was limited to kachesha, only two of them. So that was their machlokas. That's what the Gemara says they were arguing about. It's only a couple of psukim, but the Gemara in Zvachim has a whole arichas, going through and explaining what exactly they were arguing about. And what happened at the end of the day? Aaron's argument won the day, right? Aaron was right. Moshe concedes that Aaron was correct. So now let's try to understand what was their discussion. So according to the Gaonic perspective, presumably they were arguing, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu must have forgotten, and therefore he ruled incorrectly. And then Aaron, using logic, convinced him that his ruling was flawed. And then Moshe Rabbeinu remembered, oh, Taka, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. And I think that's maybe even the simplest way of reading the Gemara in Zvachim Tzandaf, Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. But I think Rambam would not agree with that reading. Number one, how could Moshe Rabbeinu forget so quickly? And if the Rambam, right, think about it this way. If the Rambam was unwilling to allow for any of the later Chachmei Mesorah to have forgotten traditions, after hundreds of years, so L'chora, he would not have considered the possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot what he was told so quickly. So if so, how does the Rambam read this Gemara? Right? Now you could be docha that Rai. You could say, well, maybe it's because he got angry, right? And we do find places where Nisalmi Mena Halacha because of anger, but I still think that the Rambam would object. Now, let's explain further. The Rambam, we have Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron in that case arguing basically using logic, right? So what types of arguments is logic relevant for? So is it relevant for the first two types of dinim? Perush Mekubal and Halacha Moshe Mesinai? No, because as we saw, those are subject entirely to transmission. So therefore, I think the Rambam would have said that what was going on over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not explicitly told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do with the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh, whether it should be eaten or not. Moshe felt that just like Hashem told him to eat the first two Chatos, right, so too, he should eat this one. And Aaron said, no, you can't deduce from there to here because they are kachesha, and this is kachedoros. And therefore, the horasha to eat despite being the aninos only applies to the kachei sha. And Aaron was correct. And indeed, after hearing Aaron's argument, Moshe conceded that Aaron was correct. So the point is that I think let's go back to our Shaila, right? The Shaila of the Chavos Yair was, how could the Rambam explain that Gemara in Tmura that says there were lots and lots of halachos that were forgotten by Me'aflo Shel Moshe? What would the Rambam respond? So the Rambam would respond, look carefully at the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that halachos Moshe Mishinas were forgotten or Mesoras were forgotten. It says, Dikduke Sofrim, Kalm V'chamurim, those types of dinim are forgotten. And the point is that already B'yamei Moshe Rabbeinu, the type of analysis of Torah had already begun. Moshe Rabbeinu did two things, as it were. He brought down the Torah for us, but he also interpreted the Torah using the tools of interpretation. And the Rambam would say those were the halachos that were forgotten. Okay. The next kasha that the Chavos Yair asks is, the Rambam seems to imply that debate only proliferated during the generation that followed Shammai v'Hillel. In other words, until that point, there was near uniformity in questions that relate to Svara, or human interpretation. So the Chavos Yair says, how could that be? In other words, humans naturally see things differently. How could it be that for all those hundreds and hundreds of years, there was no machlokas, right? Everybody interpreted, used the tools of interpretation and came to the same conclusion. And now all of a sudden, the different scholars, the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, use these tools so differently. That's his kasha. Now, l'chora, you could say, okay, well, is that better for the Gaonim? I mean, the Gaonim say, and all of this, nothing was ever forgotten. And all of a sudden now in Shammai and Hillel, everything was forgotten. But I think he doesn't think that's a kasha in the Gaonim, because the Gaonim say, no, that's because lo shimshu kol tzarchan. So apparently until that point, shimshu kol tzarchan, now there wasn't. But for the Rambam, it's fair. That's what he asks. So I think the Rambam addresses this question as well in two ways. First of all, like we read earlier, he says that skilled practitioners will generally, you know, agree on a diagnosis, whereas, less skilled doctors are much more likely to debate, right? So you have a patient that comes before two doctors. If the two doctors are very experienced, very skilled, they're likely to have the same diagnosis. If they're less skilled, they're less likely to have the same diagnosis. That's point number one that the Rambam himself makes. But more importantly, the Rambam makes very clear, he's not saying that there was never machlokas before Shammai and Hillel. There may have been many machlokas before Shammai and Hillel. The Rambam writes it explicitly, both in his Hakdama to Pirsh Mishnais, and as we'll see in a moment, in the Mishnah Torah. For example, Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Mishnah that in the days of Yoshua, so there were machloksin, and they were resolved. In other words, the Rambam is not saying that there was never machlokas before Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What the Rambam writes is there was never unresolved machlokas before Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But of course, there was machlokas. So let's just take a look at how the Rambam says this in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halachos Gimel and Dalet, where we left off from before. So things are derived using logical analysis. So if they agree, great. And if not, we follow Rav. So we have a machlokas. So this is talking about legislation or whether a minug should be left as is. It's interesting. So we follow Rav. Okay, good. Kishaya based in Hagadol Kayim. Lo haisa machlokas be Israel. So as long as the Beis Din HaGadol was around, there wasn't machlokas be Israel. Ela kol din shenola bo safik leachad mi Yisrael shawala beis din shabiro. Im yadu amrulo, im lav harei shawel, im oso beis din, o im shluchav, olam yushalayim nishawalim the beis din shabaharayis. Im yadu amrulo, im lav hakol bayin lebeis din shal pesach hazara, im yadu amrulan. Vim lav hakol bayin lelishka sagazis lebeis din hagadol v'sholin. Im hayu hadavar shenolid bar safik l'chol yadua etel beis din hagadol bein mepi akabala bein mepi mida shedanu ba. Omim miyad im lo hayu hadavar bar etel beis din hagadol danin bo b'shaitan nozim nozim b'davar. Ad yeskimu kulan o yamdu l'minyan v'yelchu achar harov. V'yomru l'chol ha'sholin kachalacha v'holchan lahem. So what used to be? So when the Beis Nagadol was around, so there was a question about the law. So you'd go to your local Beis, and if they knew, good. If not, then it would elevate all the way to the Beis Nagadol Shushalayim. They'd come to the Beis Nagadol, and if they had a Kabbalah, or it was clear-cut based off of the Midos, how to answer the question, great, they would answer. And if not, so then they would vote. Mishabatel Beis Nagadol. So when Beis Nagadol was batel, Rab Samach Leikas B'Yisrael, that is when debate proliferated. Zemitame v'nosin tam l'dvarv, zemitar v'nosin tam l'dvarv, zeosip zematir. Right? So then, when was there machlokas? After Bittel Beis Nagadol. Because then, there was debate without a matter of resolution. So what's interesting over here is what the Rambam is writing. And really, the Rambam is based off of the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Peches on a base, Kemat Mefurish, that we really find in Chazal and in the Rambam two reasons for the proliferation of debate. Number one, the Gemara in Erevin that we saw last week, Mishrabsa Talmidei Sham V'Hilo Shaloshim Shukal Tzarch Nisrabsa Machlokas Bisrael. Number two, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, which the Rambam over here is quoting, which says, when there was Bittel Sanhedrin, meaning to say, when they were no longer able to take a vote. So going back to the Chavos Yair's Kasha, it's not not like the Rambam thinks that all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, in the generation that followed Shammai the Hillel, there was this huge jump in debate just because Lo Shem Shukal Tzarach. That is one factor, but there's a second factor, which is the inability to resolve debates. So that's what the Rambam writes. And as I said, this is really what it sounds like from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rambam is more or less quoting over here. So now the question is, well, this is a little strange, right? We have two sources for debate. Which one is it? And when you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the two things are sort of put together, right? Because I'm just not going to read the whole Gemara over there, but it says the whole thing that Rambam says, Nishala she'elufnim im shamu amru lahem v'im lav omdim l'minyin rabu mitamim timu rabu mitamim tiru mishirabu talmid yisham v'hilo sheloshim shukal tzarkan rabu machlokas b'Yisrael v'nastas tark shtei toros. So how do these two factors come together? So we're going to talk about when this took place historically in just a couple of minutes. But the Rambam basically seems to be implying, and the Gemara does as well, that this basically happened around the same time. So we'll have to see what he means by Bittel Sanhedrin. But around the same time, two events coalesced to cause Ribui Machlokas Bisrael. Number one is Ribui Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel Sheloshim Shukal Tzarach, which made there be many debates. And B, no method any longer of resolving them because of Bittel Sanhedrin. Okay, so we're going to get back to when that took place. But let's go back for a moment to the next question of the Chavos Yair. So again, question number three of the Chavos Yair was, how could it be that all of a sudden there were so many debates when for such a long time there wasn't so many debates? And the answer is because there was a historical event that took place, namely the Bittel Sanhedrin, which prevented the resolution of Machlokas. Okay, question number four that the Chavos Yair asks is, there are many sources in Chazal that imply that revelation was indeed all-encompassing. Now, as we already noted, that according to the Rambam, many, many details were not given at Sinai. And the Rambam acknowledges, he says even Rov Dinim weren't given through Sinai. But how do you deal with all these Gemaras that sound like they were? So what's an example? So one Gemara is the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hey, Med Aleph. Amar Shem Ben Lakish, Ma'ay Del Sivet, Nelachas Luchos Ha'Even, Batorah Mitzvah, Asher Kasavti Lahorau Sam, Luchos Eilas HaSedibros, Torah Zumikra, Mitzvah Zeh Mishnah, Asher Kasavti Elevim Ksuvim, Lahorau Sam Zeh Gemara, Melam Shekula Nidla Moshe Misinai. So it says Mefurish, everything was given to Moshe Misinai. Everything. So the Mishnah, the Gemara. So isn't that against the Rambam, right? The Rambam, like we said, acknowledged that so many of the details of the halachos were not given at Sinai. So what would the Rambam say? So I think Rambam might respond in several ways. First of all, the Rambam might understand that when the Gemara over here refers to Mishnah and Gemara, it does not mean literally Mishnah and Gemara. So what does it mean? Right? So we already saw that the Gemara understands that the word mitzvah in this pasuk refers to Mishnah. And the Rambam explained, what does that mean? It means Tarsha Baal Peh. That was the Rambam we saw last week. So likewise, Gemara doesn't have to mean like the text, like Shas Bavli. Rather, it means the method of Talmudic analysis, the basis of which is from Moshe at Sinai. In other words, we're emphasizing that it does, all of Tarsha Baal Peh does ultimately go back to Sinai. That is certainly true. But it doesn't, this Gemara shouldn't be maintained in a literal way. What's the Raya? Well, it also says that the Nevi'im were given at Sinai, right? Is that true? It's hard to believe that at Sinai everything was given, at least you could say that, but certainly not, it's hard to understand. We talked about how even the text of the Torah clearly was not given at Sinai, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was not told at Sinai what he was going to do at Meribah. Had he been told, he might have acted a little differently. So probably, you know, the Rambam, now it's not the time to go into it, but the Rambam always tells us that when it comes to Agadic texts, we shouldn't interpret them literally if a literal interpretation makes no sense. And I think over here, the Rambam might say this is another example of that. Doesn't mean we should ignore the Agadah. We have to figure out what it means, but not necessarily that it be meant in a literal sense that like literally the words of the Nevi'im were given to Moshe at Sinai. But even if you were to argue that the Rambam would read this statement literally, we will see later that there are explicit statements in Chazal that support the Rambam's view, in which case the Rambam might have just said, okay, so it's a machlokas, and he maintained the view that there were details that weren't given to Moshe Sinai, and we'll see that in a moment. So we're going to get back to that as well. Let's take a look at the fifth question from the Chavos Yair. So the Rambam, if you recall, and this is really, I think, the hardest challenge to the Rambam. The first four questions that the Chavos Yair asked, I think, we have very glot answers. We could see in the words of the Rambam, really, how you would answer them. This one is harder because the Chavos Yair points out that there are places in Shas where we seem to find machlokas about halacha Moshe Mishinai. And remember, the Rambam said, you'll never find such a thing. Right? The Rambam in a Perish Mishnai Saktam even lists all the halacha Moshe Mishinais and shows that there's no machlokas. So how would the Rambam respond to this? So there's a beautiful approach to this Shaila in the writings of the Rav. It's in one of his Yartzei Shiurim. The Yartzei Shir, Shiurim Lezecher Avi Mori, and it's in Chelak Aleph. It's called Shnei Sugei Mesorah, and really very kedai to learn this piece. So the Rav says that there are really two types of Mesorah. The first relates to human understanding and interpretation of the Torah, and as such, as the Rambam explained, is subject to dispute. He calls this Mesoras HaMisyacheses L'Limud V'Kuach Ma'aseh U'Matan V'Horah Sichlis. The second is simply that which is transmitted. And it's the transmitted understanding of the Torah. It's devoid of human contradiction. It's a Mesorah Shel Kabbalah. And the Rambam told us that we find debate about the first category, not about the second category. About the first category, the Rambam writes, a lower court can argue with a greater court. Why? Because each generation is given to interpret the Torah as they best understand. According to the second category, there is no machlokas, because, like the Gemara says, in Kabbalah hinikabel v'imdin yeshalav tshuva. Only the first category is subject to masumatan, it's subject to logic, it's subject to kushyas and tirutzim and pirchas and the like. The second category, the mesorah shel Kabbalah, is totally not shaykh to logical arguments, because it has nothing to do with logic. It's simply tradition. Accordingly, the Rav says, even if there appears to be a machlokas in the second category about Mesorah, it's actually not considered a machlokas. We would not say about such a machlokas, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Rather, one opinion is correct, and that's the opinion that has the Mesorah, and the other is totally incorrect. So, yes, you might find a dissenting opinion in Shas, but that is not a machlokas. It's not the pshat that there's a machlokas over here. The dissenting view, like the Gemara says, has to retract. Im din, so then yesh tshuva. If it's a mesorah, then nekabel. So what appears to be a machlokas is not actually a machlokas, because only one of the two positions is legitimate. In fact, the Rav over here, by the way, I'll just point out, this also resolves, I think, another Ha'aran on the Rambam. The Gemara Nida, since the Chavis learning Nida, writes that the Yud Aleph Yom, Shebe Nida L'Nida, are halach l'moshe m'Sinai. So the Rambam, the Ramban famously debate how to understand that principle. The Rambam, though there's also a big machlokes how to understand the Rambam, I won't get into that now, but the simple reading, the Rambam sounds like he says, It's 11, then 7, no matter when she bleeds. And the Ramban says no. After the 18 days have passed, then the Yemei Nida continue all the way until she sees Dam. That would be Dam Nida. And it's only below Es Nida Sam, meaning before the 18 days, that it's Shayach to Dam Ziva. Al Kopanim, here we have a machlokas about halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And the Rambam is the center of this debate, right? How could that be? The Rambam says there is no such debate. But this is an akasha, because the Rambam, I think, would say, look, had the Ramban come to me and told me, I have a mesorah that this is the correct interpretation, then I would have conceded. Now, he didn't, right? The Ramban tries to refute the Rambam's position not from the fact that he has a mesorah, but from kashas and terutzim and rayas and pirchas, right? So the Rambam never claimed that no Talmud Chacham ever forgot some area of the mesorah. That's not what he said. Rather, what the Rambam says if that someone forgot a tradition, then he would accept that tradition from another one of the Chachmei HaMesorah who said, I do have a tradition, right? So if one of the Chachmei says, I don't know, I forgot, and somebody else came and said, I have a Mesorah going back to Moshe that the din is kach v'kach, so then that would be accepted. Oh. So the Rav here quotes the Beis HaLevi, that why did the Beis HaLevi reject the Reginer Tcheles? Because he argued that a definition of the Torah's terms requires a mesorah, an unbroken mesorah. And you can't recreate that, even if you have the most convincing arguments or scientific evidence or the like, right? His lashon is, she'ein rayos v'svaros yicholos lehochiach shum davar b'mili d'shaych le'mesorah shel When it comes to category two, a svara doesn't help. Sham ein svara machria ki im ha-mesoras atzma. You want a raya? You need a mesorah. Kein ra'u ha'avos. V'chachay nogim v'kach tzricham l'nogabanim. That's the only thing. He gives an example. I'll get to your question in a second, Binyamin. The Gemara in Zvachim on Samach Beis Med Aleph, which Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis Bechira Beis Dalet. So it writes that nevuah was needed to determine the place of the Mizbeach. And the Rav understood that meant that argument and logic and archaeology or whatever it is irrelevant. The only way here is to have a Mesorah or nevuah. Now, I don't want to get into the modern Tchelis debate. Could be that even if you fundamentally accept that idea, you still might think, all right, well, it can't hurt. But al kopanim, that's the way the Rav answered the question, this question from the Chavos Yar. Yes, Binyamin.
I have a textual question on the Lashon of the Rambam. So in Perush Mishnayos, Aaron Brooks pointed out to me that the Rambam says, Hinini Masdir Lecha Kan Rov Hadinim She'amar Bahem Alachu Mishmi Sinai V'ulai Kula. Right. As if like he's not sure that he's mentioning all the halachos of Mishmi Sinai, which would just be super duper ironic because the whole point is that we have, meaning.
No, I don't think it's, I think I answered that question. Meaning to say, the Rambam is not claiming that every single, that halachos of Mishmi Sinai was never forgotten. That's not his claim. What he's claiming is that debate concerning, there's no such thing as a machlokas about a Mesorah. So, you know, what did the Rambam do? The Rambam, you know, went through Shas and he wrote down every place that it was Halach L'Moshe Misinai. And he said, okay, this is all of them or most of them. Maybe I forgot one, maybe not, right? The Rambam is not claiming. And as we said, the Rambam wasn't even saying there was no debate about Halach L'Moshe Misinai. He was saying that there's no such thing as a chalos machlokas. There's no such thing as bringing rios, because in Kabbalah Hinakabel, the Imdin Yeshalav Chuvos. So there's two types of Mesiras. So the answer is it's not at all ironic. The Rambam never claimed that he never forgot anything himself. And the Rambam was never claiming that there was no such thing as a chacham forgetting. There's just no machlokas. Oh. So, and I think this might help also, the Rav says, to understand the sixth kasha of the Chavos Yair. The Chavos Yair is troubled because if you look at that list that Binyamin just quoted of the Rambam's list of Halachos L'Moshe Misinai, there are examples there that appear to be dinim derabanan, right? Which is so shver. I mean, Halachos L'Moshe Misinai by definition can't be a din derabanan, right? It's a Mesorah all the way going back to Sinai. So how could you have on that list the complete or almost complete list of Halach Mishmi Sinai, how could you have dinim derabanan? So the Rav says like this. He says, why is it that Talmud Bavli is binding? So the Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, basically, that anything that was accepted by the entire Jewish people becomes binding, as though it were a ruling of Sanhedrin. We'll try to get back to this a little bit. But that's what he writes. In other words, what is the basis of Talmud Bavli that the Kabbalah of the Jewish people? And the Rambam implies here that such Kabbalah has the same status as if the decision was made by Sanhedrin. And in other words, why do we follow the rulings of Sanhedrin? And when something is accepted by Klal Yisrael, the Rambam says it has that same din. The Rambam writes over there that since the completion of the Talmud Bavli, there has never been a work that was universally accepted. And therefore, you can't argue with the Gemara. Anything post-Gemara you could argue with if you have Raios, not Gemara. So let's try to understand this a little better. So the Rav writes, and others as well say this point, Rav Chanan says it as well, that what does this imply? What this implies is that the authority of the Sanhedrin is really rooted in the Jewish people. Right, that's relates to the Rambam Shita that you could reconstitute smicha if Chachmei Yisrael get together. Al Kopanim, and this is also, by the way, why if you have a legislation of the Sanhedrin that wasn't accepted by the Jewish people, why it's not binding, and it doesn't even need to be rescinded. So likewise, the Rav suggested that when you have a ruling that's accepted by the entire Jewish people. It becomes part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And now, in a sense, it becomes part of that second category of Mesorah. And as such, there could also be no debate. In other words, when the Rav, what the Rambam is writing over here, when he says these are, you know, dividing, these are the halachim shem Sinai, what he's really saying is these are the categories of halachos about which there could be no debate because there's been a Mesorah. The Mesorah can come from the halacha al-Moshe Mishinai, where the Mesorah could come from something that was Niskabel by Klal Yisrael. But once it's that din is Niskabel by Klal Yisrael, then it too is not subject to debate. And actually, if you look at the Lashon of the Hakadama to Mishnah, he seems to be making this very point. Because after he goes and says that fourth category, again, the fourth category are Takanos and Xeros. So he writes the following. Ukshetipol haskama al achas min agzeros, ein cholik alea b'shun panim. Ukshiyia pasha isura b'chol Yisrael, ein lachlok al agzera hahi, afilo nevim ba'atzman. Lo hayu rishayim levatel osa. V'chein amru b'talmud, shal yau zachol latov, lo haya yachol levatel echad mishmonasar dvarim shigazru b'shamay v'eselal, v'viutam al zeh, Lefi she'isuran pashat v'chol Yisrael. Now, the Rambam seems to be making exactly that point. He's saying that while there is machlokas about a din derabbanan, that's until the enactment has taken root. But once the enactment has taken root, it's fully binding and no longer subject to debate. And as such, just like there's no debate about categories one and two, Perish Mekubal and Halakha L'Mosh M'Sinai, so too, there's no debate about a takana or a gzeira that's taken root. Oh. So Bekitzer, the Rav answers the fourth and the fifth and the sixth objection of the Chavos Yair as saying that the Ikra distinction according to the Rambam is between the two types of Mesorah. But the first type of Mesorah, which is subject to human logic, there is debate. And according to this, and regarding the second type of Mesorah, then there isn't. Okay. So now we're ready to go back and try to answer the question we raised earlier, which is when exactly did this happen? Meaning to say, we saw before the Gemara in Sanhedrin attributes the proliferation of debate to Shammai v'Hillel, Talmid Shammai v'Hillel, Shloshim v'Kol Tzarkan. And we saw the Rambam says that this is because he says that's the reason in the Hakdama Tepesh Mishnayis, but also in Hilchos Mamrim he says that's because Mishabitel based Nagadol. So it would seem that the two things must have happened at the same time, around the same time. Now, does that make sense? So the Yeshivos of Shammai, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, well, let's say first Shammai and Hillel. The Yeshivos of Shammai and Hillel were before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Sanhedrin continued to function even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So at first glance, this doesn't make sense historically, right? The Sanhedrin continued after the Beis HaMikdash. Shammai v'Hillel was before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So how does the Rambam put these two things together? So I think if we look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Yudalet, Halacha Yud Aleph, we'll see maybe a clue to answer this question. So the Rambam writes like this. Ein danan din nefashos al b'fnei abayis, v'hu she'iya beis nagadol sham, b'shlishka she b'mikdash, sh'nema b'zakein mamrei, levilti shamo ala kohen v'gomer, u'mipi ha'shmu alamdu, she'bizman she'yesh kohen makriv al gabi ha'mizbeach, yesh din nefashos, v'hu she'iya beis nagadol makamo. So you need at least for certain dinim, we have to see which ones, but at least for certain dinim, you need Beis HaMikdash b'makomo and a Sanhedrin v'lishka sagasis. The Rambam continues, B'tchila k'shenivna Beis HaMikdash hayu Beis Nagadol yoshin v'lishka sagasis, sheisav Ezras Yisrael, v'amakom sheyu yoshin bo chol, hu chol haya, she'en yeshiva b'azara el machris David, So there was something that happened. I don't know what this means exactly. The moral character of the Jewish people declined, and this caused the Sanhedrin to go into galus. So there were 10 galios, as the Gemara explains, of the Sanhedrin. The final one was in Tveria, and we have a Kabbalah that it'll actually be reestablished in Tveria. Okay, let's continue in Rambam. So when was there a bitl dinei nefasha? It was 40 years before the destruction of Bayesheni. So when did this galus begin? 40 years prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when the Sanhedrin goes into galus. Oh. And at that point, so the authority of the Sanhedrin was diminished. Okay, that's interesting. When did Shammai die? Shammai died in the year 30, which is 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So when did the Sanhedrin go into Galus? At this time. So it seems reasonable to say, oh, so now the two things that the Rambam says happened at the same time or around the same time, indeed did happen at the same time, right? Two things happened. Number one is there was the inability to resolve debates because in a definitive manner. And number two, Mishirabu Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel Shelo Shem Shukal Tzarkan. And if we consider it that way, so that's these two factors did approximately happen at the same time. And that's the convergence of these two factors, according to the Rambam, is what caused the debate to proliferate. Now, it's still not a full answer. We still need to keep on working. Why not? Because even though the Sanhedrin left the Beis HaMikdash at this point, it did continue to function elsewhere. So we could still ask, okay, so they couldn't do dinei nefashos, but why couldn't they resolve halachic questions? So you could really take two approaches to this question. One is that the Sanhedrin could only definitively resolve a halachic question when they're in Yerushalayim. So just like they can't try capital cases anymore, so too they can't definitively resolve shilas. And that would be very elegant. That would answer all our questions. Just I don't think it's true. But we'll get there in a moment. The second option is maybe to say maybe there were practical nations that prevented the resolution of debate. So do we have evidence? As we said, the easiest approach is to say take the first approach, and that's why the Rambam puts these two things together. However, and there certainly is the case that the high court is diminished authority outside of Yerushalayim. However, I think that there's a lot of evidence, and we'll see in a moment what that is, that it was actually practical considerations that prevented the resolution of these types of machloks and once they left the Beis HaMikdash. But in theory, if all the sages were to gather together outside of Yerushalayim in some place, say Yavne, and take a vote, so they could. And that would be binding. And in fact, this is exactly what they did. Because in the years following the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, in Yavne, they did eventually put an end to the debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and they voted in favor of Beis Hillel. So that's why I think it's really the second option that's correct. But let's try to elaborate. So the question that we have is, to what degree does Sanhedrin have to be in Yerushalayim for their authority to be fully binding? So certainly the psukim imply that they do, right? Right? You have a shaila about the halacha. What do? You go to the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the pasuk says, So the pasuk certainly emphasizes that what's Me'akev is that it be Makom Ahud, it be Yerushalayim. And the Rambam also, at the beginning of Hilchos Mamim, writes, based in Haggadah, should be Yerushalayim, heim ikar tarsha bal peh, veheim amudei hora'ah, umehem choku mishpat yotzei. The Rambam here, too, seems to emphasize that it's based in Haggadah in Yerushalayim, right? So that, again, all those suggest that perhaps that's why there was the Rivud Machlokas, because the Sanhedrin left Yerushalayim. So what's wrong with this view? So the problem with this view is, like we said before, because eventually the debates between Beis Shammai and Hillel were resolved in Yavne, not in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Why was the decision to follow Beis Hillel binding if it was made outside of Yerushalayim? So it would seem that they could if they wanted to. So why didn't they? Because why didn't they go ahead and start resolving all these questions even after they left Eretz Yisrael? So I think, like I said before, while technically speaking you could resolve questions outside if everybody got together, there were other reasons why they didn't. I want to consider a third possibility. And again, we'll develop both of these possibilities, all three possibilities, I think, next week. We'll try to finish up this again next week. But what have we considered? Again, let's just review what we have. We have a kasha, right? What's our kasha? The Rambam writes, Ribui Machlokas Bisrael is because of what? Because the Sanhedrin no longer was able to take a final vote. So Mimela, you couldn't resolve them. And we asked, why did this happen when it did? Right? The Rambam says it relates to Bittul Sanhedrin. But why was there Bittul Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin continued well after Beis Shammai Beis Hillel and was eventually resolved. So the first possibility we said was it's only binding if it's in Yerushalayim, and they left Yerushalayim 40 years before the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Second possibility we said is practical. Maybe there's a third possibility. Maybe the leaders of the Jewish people decided not to attempt every debate, even though they theoretically could. Why not? Right? Obviously, there's a lot of advantages to having clear-cut halacha. But maybe, this is somewhat more speculative, there's a lot to be gained by not resolving every debate, right? When we go ahead and we learn Gemara and we see all the different perspectives and we study the Havaminas and the like, so when we do so, we end up with a much broader understanding of Ratzon Hashem and Toras Hashem. And we don't just learn the Shita that we Paskin like, we learn the other Shita as well. So by leaving the matter unresolved, this development of Torah was furthered. Okay, perhaps they would not have intentionally let it like linger forever. And we'll see that indeed Rav Gamliel did get everybody together to resolve the machloks in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But at least for some point, maybe they decided to let it go. And that's what caused the Ribud Machlokas Bisrael. And again, I want to elaborate more, but let's consider some other options as well. It could be that it's not just at this point. It's very interesting, actually, if you look at, you know what, we're out of time. We're going to stop here. I'm happy to take some questions if there are any. And Be'ezus Hashem, next week we will, what I want to do next week is we're going to do the history of Machlokas from Moshe Rabbeinu till our time. You know, how Machlokas happened, how it was resolved, and what we're meant to do when there is Machlokas, and how we're supposed to figure out how to be Noe Kalach L'maisa. So that's what we're going to do next week, the history of Machlokas, and then after Pesach, we'll start something new. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's so much a kasha, but according to the deos that like Dini Daraisa were quote unquote nischadju after Matan Torah. They weren't all given at Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. So that means there's a period of time where many Dini Doraisa were not followed by Klal Yisrael, right?
Right.
So I guess it's not a kasha. I was just very curious.
Yeah, I hear. And I think that that is part of what's troubling the Chavos Yair. I think for a lot of the questions, maybe it's not such a kasha. Okay, so, you know, the Shiloh didn't come up yet, so they didn't need a teretz. And when the Shiloh came up, so then they figured out what to do. But I would also add, and this is a really important point, maybe we'll talk about this more next week, that, you know, the Gemara famously says that in the Asra de Rabbi Lazar, in the town of Rabbi Lazar, Yukarsin Eitzim B'Shabbos, they would, Rabbi Lazar held that Machshir Mila were Docha Shabbos. So they would cut down the wood to make the preparations for the knife or the Mila needs. And it says that they would live out full lives, and not only that, but when there was a Gzeira against, by the Romans, against people who did Bris Mila, it wasn't on this town. In other words, they were rewarded for their mysterious nefesh. Now, eventually, the position of Rabbi Lazar would be rejected. He was going to be outvoted. And not only that, but if someone did that on Shabbos, they would be Chayiv Misa. So how could it be? How could it be that, you know, did they do the wrong thing? Is that possible? No, clearly not, right? They were rewarded for what they did. So the answer is that until the vote was taken, there was an Amida Laminyan, or consensus, and Rav Lazar's view was rejected. So following Rav Lazar's view was indeed the right thing. And the people in the town were doing the right thing when they asked their Rav, Rav Lazar, what to do. And he said, yes, Machshir Mila Daifa Shabbos. And they followed what he said. And that's great. They did exactly what was right and for which they were rewarded. And then once it was decided against him, so if you do that, you're Chayiv Misa. And that's the wrong thing to do. So the same thing over here. In other words, yeah, is it possible that there were all sorts of things that, you know, were not known until they were discovered? Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael in such a way that it would evolve and develop based off of the rules of interpretation. That's because Baruch Hu wasn't like he forgot to tell Moshe all these things, right? That was very intentional. That is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Torah to develop. And so that's the way it did develop. And people who, so, you know, is it possible that in Tkufa A, they didn't do a certain thing and in Tkufa B, later on they did? Maybe. Does that mean the people in Tkufa A were doing anything wrong? No, just like the people in Rav Lazar's town weren't doing anything wrong. That was all part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I understand. Okay, fine. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. Shkayach.
Okay.
Rabbi, can I ask one more question?
Sure, please.
I don't know if it's a kasha, but just like different implications. Like when the Gemara says about Mishnas Rabu Tamidei Hillel the Shammai, like Nasa mm-hmm. Torah Kishtei Toros gives off like a very negative implication. But the Rambam, like Ein Laha Ashimam Bekach, sounds more like this was either supposed to happen or meant to happen. Like I was just wondering, how are we supposed to square those two things?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that, you know, looking back, I think we could say two things in general about machlokas, right? Is machlokas good or bad? The answer is both. In one sense, it clearly would be much better if everybody was doing the same thing. That would be great. And it was, you know, the debate between Shammai and Hillel, or Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, was tragic. At the same time, in Lashimon Alkaf, certainly the Rambam says they were trying their best, didn't do anything wrong. But even more than that, you know, we believe that when you have a machloket about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? That's exactly where the Gemara even says in Erev and Eilu Ve'Elu. right? So what does that mean, Eil Vilo? Means that without the machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the full perspective of Divrei Elokim Chaim wouldn't be known. In other words, we'd be missing out, right? If we just had Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel, and everybody sort of, originally Beis Shammai won the day or Beis Hillel won the day, and we didn't have any of this machlokas in. So we would be, there would be Divrei Elokim Chaim that we wouldn't know. And it's dafka through the machlokas that the more of the infinite wisdom of Kadosh Baruch Hu is revealed. So we don't encourage machlokas, and to the extent that we're able to resolve machlokas, of course we should. But we believe that when Hashkacha makes it such that there is a machlokas, so the result is something that's extraordinary. It's positive. It's Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's Yashar Koach Shibarta. And there is this ribuy of Torah and a greater understanding of Chachmas Hashem that emerges from the Torah, because Shammai and Hillel or Beis Shammai Hillel were different, and they both perceive different aspects of the Chachmas Hashem, and they both taught the different aspects. And so because of their debate that went unresolved for at least so many centuries, or a couple of centuries, so we are so much richer. So I think really both.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Appreciate it.
Okay. My pleasure.
Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.